So today's message is called First Things First, and it's basically the principle of first. So this principle of first is really throughout Scripture. And I will tell you today that a lot of this is based upon the example of tithing and offering. Okay? If you're here today, you came for the first time, that's awesome. And welcome as we talk about, you know, giving to the Lord. It's not about money necessarily. It's really more about a heart that is yielding to the Lord and putting Him first. So if God is first in your life, then other things will come into order. Everybody say order. Okay. This does not mean you will not have problems. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But would you rather go through tribulation or troubles with everything in order or everything out of order? If God is first in your life, then other things will come into order. If God is not first in your life, then other things will be out of order. That kind of makes sense. I'm going to show you this principle, and we're going to be in several just patches of Scripture throughout God's Word. But look at Exodus chapter 13, verse 2. We have it on the screen. It says this, consecrate, which means set apart, consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal. Okay? God says the firstborn belongs to me. Now, look at Exodus 13, verse 12 through 13. You are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with the lamb every firstborn donkey, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. All right. Now, first of all, a couple of things. This is not saying, God's not saying you need to sacrifice your firstborn son, okay? Because, and we'll get here in just a minute what he's meaning here. But before we do that, when it talks about, you know, breaking the donkey's neck, a donkey will be redeemed by the lamb. And I'll show you here in just a second why that is. So if you don't redeem the donkey, break its neck, meaning you're going to lose it anyway. So if you don't bring it to me, God is saying, you're going to lose it. So there are three kind of observations I want us to look at when it comes to the principle of first in this message. Number one, the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. We just read that. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. How do you know when to sacrifice and when to redeem? So he gives us two animals. In the Bible, one is a donkey. The donkey represents unclean animals. Say, everybody say unclean. Unclean animals. And the lamb represents clean animals. Say clean. Good. If it's a clean animal, get this, then it must be sacrificed, firstborn animal, and it must be sacrificed as the firstborn. If it's an unclean animal, then it must be redeemed. Everybody say redeemed. Redeemed with the sacrifice of a clean animal. Okay? Donkey represents unclean animal. This is just an example. Donkey represents unclean animal. He can't be sacrificed as a clean animal. But he needs to be redeemed, made clean, is what redeemed means. That's what those who belong to Jesus, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been made clean. You need to redeem the donkey with something that is clean. So just hang with me for few more minutes. Okay, we're going to explain this. So the donkey, unclean, needs to be redeemed by the clean animal, which is a lamb. So so how does this relate with us today? So let me ask you a couple of questions. First, were you and I spiritually born clean or unclean? Unclean. Look at your neighbor and say, you're unclean. Okay? Good. You, parents, you didn't have to teach your kids how to lie. Okay? They just did it. You were born knowing how to lie or how to take something that doesn't belong to you or how to be selfish. You did not learn that. You were born with it. That is an example. Second question. Was Jesus born clean or unclean? Clean. He was born clean. Okay? You say, well, he was born of a woman, yes, but he was born of a virgin, never been with a man. The Holy Spirit put the seed in the womb of Mary, making it clean, not unclean, and then he lived a sinless life. He was not born into sin. But here's the deal. Jesus had to be sacrificed so that the unclean can be redeemed. If you don't understand anything of the God, that right there statement, just that sums up the gospel, the good news. We were born unclean. Jesus is born clean. And the principle of first, we just got through reading in Exodus chapter 13, says Jesus had to die. He was clean to redeem, make clean those who were born unclean. We got it? That is why Jesus came to die. And it's right there. I mean, the whole plan of the gospel is throughout Scripture, even in the Old Testament, right there in Exodus. You have the beginning plan, the blueprint for the gospel. It's so amazing. So this principle carries over into other areas of our life, like giving and tithes. You pay the tithe first. You don't pay your bills and see if you have left over. You give the tithes first. It takes faith. Everybody say faith. It takes faith to give the first 10% as tithe. God said that when the sheep has a lamb, give me the first one, because it takes faith to give him, to give God the first one before you have any more. Because you don't know if that particular sheep that produced a lamb, you don't know if that particular sheep is going to have any more offspring. That sheep has a lamb. Baby sheep, sacrifice the lamb. The first one. We don't wait until they have 10 and then you take the last one. That's not how it works. You have to get the first one before you have any others. It's not the 10% that enacts a blessing. It's the faith that enacts the blessing. And let me understand this. You can go into so many directions with this. Think about it this way. Jesus was God's tithe. I'm talking about money, talking about his gift. Jesus was God's tithe. The reason that Jesus was God's tithe is because he gave it first. In other words, he did not wait until we got our act together to give his son, Jesus. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave it first. I know you're messed up. I know you're living a life on your own. You're selfish. There's evil ways in you. But guess what? I love you so much. I'm not going to wait for you to get your act together. I'm gonna offer my son Jesus. He gave it first. God said, then this same principle we see in other parts of scriptures as well. For instance, Joshua. Remember Joshua in the battle of Jericho, the walked around the city and the walls came tumbling down? Okay, that Joshua. We see this principle in Jericho. God said to bring all the gold and silver from Jericho into my house. Okay, into his tabernacle where the ark was. Okay, then ultimately that went into the house and the temple, the physical temple, into my house. Bring all of that into my house. But why didn't God say bring 10% of the plunder? If you're talking about a tithe, which actually means 10%, you would think, well, God would say, well, just bring me 10% of the plunder, of the silver and the gold, whenever Jericho falls. Just bring 10%. But why did God say bring all of it? Here's the reason why. Jericho was the first city. Jericho was the first city when the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River into the promised land, and they were conquering city after city according to God's direction. Jericho was the very first one. He says, that's the first one that belongs to me. Do you know after that, that they got to keep every single bit of the plunder of all the other cities? God didn't ask for anything else. But the first city, he did. Bring the first into the house of the Lord. The rest of the riches are blessed and redeemed because the first was brought into the house of the Lord. Remember? First, and it redeems. Okay? Sacrifice it and it redeems. Or give it and it redeems. The first portion is a redemptive portion. When you give the first to God, the rest are redeemed. The rest are made holy. Here's what I believe. As you look at Scripture, when you give the first of anything, I'm talking about time, your resources, your treasures, what, attention, you give the first to the Lord, he's going to redeem the rest. He's going to make holy. He's going to sanctify the rest because you're giving to the Lord. You're giving the first to him, which means this. If you truly are giving the Lord the first of your increase, that means every penny that you have in your bank account, in your wallet, whatever, every penny that you're getting for the rest of the month or whatever, it makes all of that clean. It makes all of that holy. And what you do with that money, you're dealing with holy money. You know what I'm saying? So, like what you spend it on. So you're dealing with holiness. And what it does is that because it's holy, then that money or that time or whatever, God will take that and he will magnify it. He will sustain it. He will provide. It brings God into all of that and it puts things in order, just like I started the beginning of this message. So, I know it's really hard not to do this. Somebody's like, Pastor, there's no way. I have to give stuff to the mortgage company, to the rent company, to, you know, the landlord, the car note, the power bill, all of the, I have some, yes, yes. But what if you're like, no, I want God to bless it. I want God to make the rest of it holy. So I'm giving the first. I'm giving it to him first. So we have the principle that firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. So sacrificed or redeemed. Number two, the first fruits must be offered. The first fruits must be offered. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Vats that hold wine. Please note that this proverb, it's not part of the law, but hundreds of years after the law, this was written. So this principle runs throughout all Scripture. Look at back to Exodus 23:19. Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. This is going back to the law. All of this is throughout Scripture. Bring the best of your first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. Now, before I go on and talk about what we're talking about, I think that last sentence needs some explanation. You read that, it's like, what is that about? So historical evidence suggests that the practice of cooking a young goat in its mother's milk was part of an offensive Canaanite, which is another tribe of people outside of Jews, a Canaanite ritual. And scholars believe it was an ancient fertility rite performed during harvest time. This command to not do this was a precautionary measure to keep his people from committing idolatry. So Israel's harvest celebrations were not to look anything like the pagan, ungodly Canaanites or anybody else that lived around them. And I also believe, as you look at this, I also believe that God was introducing a pro-life principle in this passage, in Exodus 23:19. The source of life should never become the cause of death. The source of life should never be the cause of death. A young goat is supposed to be nourished by its mother's milk, not boiled in it. Now go back to the very first word of this 23:19. Exodus 23:19. It says this. The reason why God uses the word bring and not give is when he's talking about tithing is this. Y'all need to catch this. You can't give what doesn't belong to you. You can't give what doesn't belong to you. You bring it. You have two choices when it comes to tithe. According to scripture, this is not my words. This is when you just read it. It says this. So the principle is this: you can bring your tithe, you can bring it, or you can steal it. Let me say, wow, that's pretty strong, Pastor Frank. Well, where do we see this? Let's go back to the Battle of Jericho. God wanted the gold and silver to be consecrated or set apart for his glory. But remember a man named Achan. Achan was a father, a husband. And even though they were told not to take anything, Achan decided, you know what? I'm going to take some things. And the Bible uses there in his word in this Jericho battle, he uses the word devoted things. He took some of the devoted things. They were supposed to be devoted to the Lord, but Achan said, you know what? I'm going to take some of the devoted things. They lost the second battle of Ai because they were cursed. God told Joshua, someone has stolen from me. He uses those words. Someone has stolen from me. So your tithe, or the first fruit, is consecrated, made holy. If you bring it into the house of God, it's made holy. But cursed if you leave it in your bank account or wherever. Now, why would you want something to be cursed in your bank account? Let me tell you something. It takes faith to believe that 90% of your money will go further blessed than 100% of your money cursed. It takes faith to believe that 90% of your funds will go further blessed because you sacrificed 10% than the 100% of your money cursed. Let me show you another example. You remember Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve? Okay. Cain killed Abel. And the reason why is because God wouldn't accept his sacrifice. God accepted Abel's sacrifice, his offering, but he did not accept Cain's offering. As you may recall, Cain and Abel, obviously sons of Adam and Eve, Cain was a farmer, Abel was a rancher. We see this in Genesis 4:3-5. It says this, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Verse 4, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain, his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast, and Cain struck his brother and killed him out of jealousy. Why did God accept Abel's offering but not Cain's offering? Abel brought the first fruits. We just read that. God looked down in favor on his offering. So let's go a little bit further into this. And it's not that God would not accept Cain's offering. It's because God could not accept Cain's offering. Not that he wouldn't, because he could not. You say, well, he's God. God can do anything, right? Well, there are some things that God can't do.
Really?
There are some things God can't do. He can't act outside of himself, outside of his character. He cannot. He cannot act outside of his character. Here's some things God can't do. He can't change. Not that he won't change. He can't. Let me explain. The reason why he can't change is because it would mean he could get better. Right? Makes sense? He can't get better because he is perfect. So that's one thing. God can't change. Second thing God can't do, he can't think the way we think. He just can't. He can't think the way we think. The reason is because he is omniscient. Omniscient. The omniscience of God. If you break that word into two parts, it means omni, all. And then scient, or science, knowledge. Omniscient. God has all knowledge. The reason why God can't think the way we think is because we think to figure things out. God is not trying to figure things out. Never let me tell you another way. Nothing has occurred to God. No, God has never said, I just thought of something. It just occurred to me. Omniscient. All-knowing. He never looks at something and, oh, wow. We would say, oh, my God. He would say, oh, myself. You know, he would not do that. Why? Because he is all-knowing. He is all-knowing. And the third thing is, God can't be second. He can't be second. It's his character. It's his nature. The reason why is because of another big word, preeminence. You've heard of eminence before, which is like first. Eminence, you're first. He is preeminent, which means he is before the first. He is not only first of all, but before all. He is not only first of all, but before all. God is first. Now, in our lives, we may talk about God being first and putting him first, and that's great. But let me tell you something, folks. Even if you don't put him first in your life, he is still first. Amen? He is still first. It doesn't matter if you put him first in your life. He is still first. He is God. God can never be second. The reason he could not accept Cain's offering is because God is always first, and Cain did not bring a first offering. God cannot, in his nature, accept the second place offering. So is God first in your life? How do you know? We can look at our bank account. Where does that 10% go? You may say, well, wow, Pastor Frank, this is tough stuff. Can I tell you something? I have seen as a pastor, and I get the awesome privilege, and I humbly just I walk in this ability to just minister to people and try to shepherd people. And part of that shepherding is people growing in their Christian maturity, people growing in their faith. And I have seen so many people over the years, obviously, you know, people in the, you know, just you guys as a church, we're seeing signs of Christian maturity, serving, getting involved, giving, those kinds of things. I mean, I love to see that. And we even see signs even now. I mean, sometimes it's hard to put your finger on it, but you can actually put your finger on this. The over the past few months, there have been more and more people who've decided to bring a tithe to the Lord. They started giving to the Lord. And the more that happens, the more that God blesses His church. And let me let you know, it's not, it has nothing to do with the amount. Everybody's given a different amount, right? But it has everything to do with the choice, the decision to give. And because people in our church have decided to do that, God is making, I mean, God is involved in that. So in a bulletin, we put on here contributions of the week. Now, according to our budget, we have a budget that we as a church vote on. We'll have one annual meeting in December that will set the church budget for 2026. We did this for 2025 and years before that. So we have a budget that we also have a faith budget, meaning this. Here's our budget as man looks at it, man's eyes, but here's our faith budget. What if God just did even more, right? And over the past few weeks, we're kind of running behind on even our regular budget. And then we were far behind on our faith budget. In fact, I was like, God, should we even put that faith budget in there? God's like, no, it wouldn't be faith. I'm like, all right, we're going to keep it in there. And what's amazing is that, and I totally believe this is tied to this, 100%. Because people over the last few months have decided, you know what? It's time for me to grow my Christian maturity. I'm going to give and I'm going to tithe. And because of that, God has opened the floodgates and has allowed us through His people to be where we are now. And it's only God. It's only God. Because right now, our budget need to date at this week is $160,740. Our faith budget is $174,308. Today's giving, this week's giving, is $182,909. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. Yes. But y'all, and all of this came from people, God speaking to the hearts of people. That's what it did. God speaking to the heart of His people. And so there's some good things that come out of that. And what we can do with that, we're going to continue to bless our community. We're going to continue to, we could put some money into savings to help with what we're doing on our future property. I mean, it's amazing how God can speak. So the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. The first fruits must be offered. And the third principle I want to bring out today is the tithe must be first. We talked about a lot of this. The tithe must be first. Leviticus 27:30. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So you say, well, let's use this as an example. Let's say if you go work for someone in their yard, did some yard work, and you were paid $1,000 to do whatever yard work. And you know, you take out all of the expenses for that or whatever that is. And you get $1,000. And that person paid you cash 10 $100 bills. Okay? So you have 10 $100 bills, which is $1,000 payment, all goes to you after your expenses. And so, now which one of those $100 bills is the tithe? First one. The first one that leaves your hand. You know, many Christians have intentions to give God a tithe. They lay out their money for a mortgage and utilities, car payments, and everything. But sometimes it's easy just to give God what's left over. It's easy to give God what is left over. Y'all, I think God deserves more than our leftovers. He deserves more of our more than our leftovers. Malachi chapter 1 verse 8. You bring me the blind and the lame animals. I do not accept them. Basically what he's saying is this. You're giving me the leftovers. Like there's no way. If you're going to, I'm looking for a spotless lamb. The law says that. Spotless lamb. Now this leg, this animal, you know, this lamb only has one leg. So I'm gonna sacrifice that to the Lord. I'm gonna give that to the Lord. That's leftover. That's leftover. God, we can't give God leftovers. That's what Malachi just says. Now, I want you to also understand, don't consider this legalistic. So let's say if, you know, when I get paid or Suzanne gets paid and that money gets, you know, drafted into our account. And before I can take the tithe and give that to the Lord electronically, let's say Suzanne goes to Kroger, which she goes there a lot because of a big family. She goes to Kroger and she spends some of that money and she spends it before we could tithe it. Then it's really not the first, y'all. That's not legalistic that way. It's really more of this. When you get paid, don't waste time. Take first. First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it. I'm going to bring it. Bring it because it all belongs to God anyway. And so, as we close, I just want to ask you, where's your heart? Where's your heart? Y'all, my job as a shepherd is to guide and direct according to where the Lord wants to take us. And there are seasons, there are times that I need to bring out sermons like this. You may say, well, Pastor Frank, I just can't give. I disagree with that. I do. And you may say, well, Pastor Frank, Lake Point just wants my money. No, look, you can give to another church if you want. I don't care. But you need to give to the Lord. God's going to take care of our church. He's already proven that. And he will continue to do so. But just, you need to do this. You need to try. For those who continue and are faithful, I'm praying blessings. I'm praying for holiness in your funding. I'm praying that God will bless you. Like he knows how. Bless you with contentment. Bless you with joy. Bless you with provisions. You don't lack anything. Those kinds of blessings. I'm praying that God will give that to you. Things that money can't buy. I'm praying that over you right now. Lord, let them receive it. In the name of Jesus, bless them, bless them, bless them. But I know we talked about giving or bringing. But the most important gift you can give to the Lord is your life, your heart. Your heart belongs to him. But he's not going to come take it. Like he's not going to come take the money out of your checking account. He's not going to come and take your heart. That's something that you need to give to him. So every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you're like, you know, Pastor Frank, I feel like I've been stepped on. Well, all I can say is good. There are times we all need to be stepped on a little bit, but we do it in love. But that is also called conviction. And that we have conviction in our life, the next thing is should be an adjustment of that conviction. And that adjustment is to align your life in the order that He has. And that order begins by you giving first. So right now, if you're not really doing that, I just want you to commit that to Him. Lord, enough is enough. I give that to you. I commit, I'm giving you my first to you. And if you're here today and you have not given your heart, then you could do that right now. You say, God, I give you my heart. Please forgive me my sin. Please come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. All of you and less of me. In Jesus' name, amen.